We're going to be discussing the halachos of chazozis tonight. Chazozis, which is, it's hard to define exactly chazozis. Because chazozis, the Shulchan Aruch says, chazozis, what is exactly chazozis? Chazozis is defined in Sefer Gimel the following way. Hukmoi ababuas v'yesh boi mamash. It's a bubble, it's a bit like a bubble. And yesh boi mamash, it's something which you can feel. It's something which is tangible, it's something which you can feel. Shemekoimoi its place, nika b'mishmosh, shugavoya me'esrik. It's something which you can feel when you touch that, as you can feel a bump going up. This is chazozis, and chazozis, the Mishnah says a chazozis is possible. Everybody agrees that a chazozis is possible. The Pemigodim already says that it's not so clear to know what exactly chazozis is. We know the Mishnah, the Tanoim knew what a chazozis is, the Amirom knew what a chazozis is, but for us it's a little bit hard. I have never been zoiche to see a chazozis in real life, because often the bubbles that go up, it's not the bletlich. The bletlich is something which doesn't necessarily go up. A chazozis is a bubble, something which sticks and protrudes out, and it's a bubble. And if it's, however, if it's the flesh of the esrog, regular flesh of the esrog, which sometimes you've got bumps, an esrog is bumpy. By definition, an esrog is bumpy. So that's not a chazozis, that's not a problem. A chazozis is something which is external, but yet part of the esrog. It's something which is not, it's an unhealthy
distortion.
Yes, distortion. Yeah, but it's not just the fact that it grew funnily. It's not just the shape of it. It's also that it's different. It's different mamoshes. I've seen pictures of chazozis, but I've never seen something which is quite rare. A chazozis is possible, and if the esrog has got chazozis, the esrog would be invalid to use. Right. It's not so common though. You wouldn't normally be shipped to England. But the Ramo, which is much more relevant as far as our purchase of a soigim is concerned, says the following. Lochain, therefore, yesh lehachshe, it is permitted, that's really, really relevant. Yesh lehachshe, it is permitted to use oisen chazozis, those type of chazozis, shekoyim beloshen ashkenaz mol, what we would nowadays call bletlach, they are fine. A mol, what he refers to is a blatt mol, which nowadays is considered a bletlach, they are fine. Why? Lefisha einon gvoin mesha esrog. They are not protruding, they're not going higher up. Those are fine. So what the Ramo is saying is that the definition of chazoz is something which is something which you can feel. Therefore, a bletlach which you cannot feel is, consequently, says the Ramo, is fine. The bletlach that we've got nowadays, something which you can't feel. They're on the same height of the rest of the esrog. Even if you can feel it a little bit, That's not what he's referring to. Chazoz is something which is a real bump, something which really big. Chazoz, bletlach is not like that. Therefore, it's okay. Right. That's what the Ramos says. First opinion of the Ramos. So that's the bletlach are fine. So bletlach we see every day. Most Nesroigim have got bletlach. Bletlach are slight discolorings, which happen through the process of the esrog growing. There is bletlach growing for various reasons, and those are often, most times, they're on the same height of the esrog. They're not protruding out, they're not sticking out. Therefore, according to that, the Ramah says they're actually fine. They are fine because they're not high, they're not in the category of chazozis. The Ramah continues, v'yesh mishikosav, yesh lachshiram. There's another reason why they may be okay. Mitam shenechshorim mara esrog. Bletlach are regular. It's a regular thing for an esrog to have. It's a regular thing for an esrog to have a bletlach. Most of the Sfarim have got it. Therefore, since it's the regular thing, it can't be a psul. Anything which is regular is not going to pass the esrog. Ma'acha, since the regilim lio is har bekach, since, the Ramah says, since it's the normal thing to have bletlach, therefore they are not considered a psul. They can't be a psul. By definition, something what most of the Sfarim grow with, do you know which dots I'm referring to? The little dots, they can be any color, they can be brownish. They can be, you know, they are very common. The Ramah says that since that's a normal thing for an esrog to go with those, they can't be considered chazozis. That's the regilis of the esrog. It's the norm of the esrog to have those. Therefore, they're okay.
The things that people look at with their magnifying.
Correct. This is one of the two reasons why people will investigate an esrog with magnifying glass. The other reason being chosa. But yes, people will look for that. Now, bletlach, there is 2 points which we must emphasize with regards to bletlach. First one being Mishnah Berurah Seif Katan, Nun. Just on a quick, before we go to Sifkot Nun, I want to just point out Sifkot Memtes, which is something interesting. Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot Memtes, Ababuz, V'yesh Oim Davke Shtei Ababuz. Mishnah Berurah says that some Ababuz sounds like it's a plural, that you need two bubbles to be a Chazalzis. If it's just one bubble, it's not considered Chazalzis. But we don't really pass like that, but it's just interesting. He's Medayik to Loshen Ababu Ois, which is Loshen Rabbim. But in Sifkot Nun, the Mishnah Berurah said, Nechshov Mare Esri, he addresses what will happen if you have got, if you have got a bletlach which is slightly higher, and you've seen those, you know, bletlach which are slightly higher, they are slightly sticking out of the esrog, they're not exactly the same level, the same height of the rest of that, they're slightly higher, are those a problem or not? Bletlach, not a chazazis. Chazazis is an external growth which is rare. I'm talking about a bletlach, which is slightly higher. You've seen those?
They can. I understand the discoloration because a leaf grew or something, but why would that make it go higher?
Say it can happen. It can happen because it was going on, it was covering, and therefore it didn't grow the regular way, and then it can sometimes go a little bit higher. Yeah. So what would be the halacha then? A bletlach which is higher. Not chazazis, a bletlach which is slightly higher. So the Mishnah Berurah says it depends which reason is the. It depends on the reason. He says if the reason of chazazis is if I'm just going to quote Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Nun. The Nechshav Maru Esri lefi tam zeh. According to this reason, says the Mishnah Berurah, afilu gvoy misha esri kosher. According to the second reason, that it's the Mario Esrek, that it's the norm, then Bletlach also, it's the norm, even if they are slightly higher, they're going to be okay. However, according to the first reason of the Ramah, that the Chazaz is defined by being higher than the rest of the Esrek, according to that, Bletlach, which is high, is also going to be a problem. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. So, Lemay said, Mishnah Berurah Paskan, that's really important for us to know. V'ayin v'achroinim, the last line, v'ayin v'achroinim, she'iskimot ein lehokel b'gvoyim. Mishar Esrei Kim B'Shas Adchak. Mishnah Berurah Paskens Halacha LeMaaseh Rabbeisai. Bletlach, which is slightly higher than the rest of the Esrei, don't use it. Rabbeisai, that's very, very negel LeMaaseh. Don't pick it as, if it's got Bletlach, that's okay. But if the Bletlach are slightly higher than the rest of the Esrei, if you can feel it, that it's a little bit bumpy, try to avoid that Esrei, according to the Mishnah Berurah. No. Because the bumps, if it's the regular type of bumps, that's the regular part of the esrog. If the bletlach which grew in one stage or another of the growth of the esrog, it grew and it went out a little bit. You can have sometimes, yeah, you can have them sometimes. They grew out a little bit. It's not like a proper chazazis, but it grows up a little bit. And those will be, according to Mishnah Berurah, try to avoid those. It's a bletlach which is higher, which you should try to avoid. Most bletlach are not like that. Most bletlach are found at the same level of the esrog, the same height of the esrog, but they exist. Yes. Correct. See if you doubt it. Im also be chazazis be inin shepostel. See if you doubt it. If the chazazis grew in it, whether it was apostle chazazis, oi shom menuma, or they had discoloration. If when you peel it, choizel emario esrog. It goes back after to the color of the esrog. I wouldn't risk it. But if you peel it off, you have a chazazis, a bump, you peel it off, and after it grows back to the color of the esrog, would you risk it? Would you risk it? Then he says, kosher! If you made it in a way that nothing is missing, chazazis is gone and nothing else is missing, it's kosher, as long as it grew back to the regular color of the esrog. I don't know, would you risk it? Would you try to peel off an esrog? I don't know, I would also be a bit hesitant. But if you can do it, you can do it. As long as there's nothing chazan. See if tezvav. No father of mine, betolosh. If water went on it, betolosh, when it was disconnected, the tofachli swelled up. Or sorach. Or he went and he had a, it went smelly. He went like mushy and smelly. Or shu kovush b'choymetz. Or he was lying with choymetz, with vinegar, oim a vushel, or the esrog is cooked, oim a numa, or there's lots and lots of dots, it's possible. These are possible. So he goes to quite a few halachas. Again, it was swelled up, he has a strong smell, it was kovush b'chometz, he was lying with vinegar for a long time, or he was cooked, or he was full of dots, completely covered with dots, all those are possible. Yeah, now the Mishnah Berurah in Tzivkot Nun Hei brings a famous Chumra that if it's, there is two types of Maris, two types of spots. And Esrei could have two types of spots. There is something called Maris Ksherois and Maris Psulois. A Maris Psul is generally a proper, what we call black dot. If something is a genuinely proper black dot, that's called a Maris Psul, and that is a Psul on the Chotem 1, the bottom of the Esrei 3. That's a black dot, and that is a serious, that is Psul, and that's the end of story. Black is a Maris Psul. Mare looks possible. That's black. White also goes in that category. But what about other colors? Brown, yellow. What about those colors? Are they also going to pass the S? Are also considered a mare possible or not? The answer is no. That's not considered a mare possible. That's called a mare kosher. It's still a mare. It's a discoloration, but it's a mare kosher. It's a mare kosher. What happens if you've got one mare? If you've got a brown dot on top of the esek, it doesn't pass the lid. If you've got three dots, three brown dots in the bottom of the esek, that also doesn't pass the lid. But it's a mare psul. L'chatchila tried to avoid it, but it's certainly not a psul. What happens if you've got an esek which is covered all over with brown dots, yellow dots, green dots? Psul? Mare ksherois. It's a mare kosher. Says the Mishnah Berurah, and it's a famous chumra. The Mishnah Berurah says, I'm going to two lines from before Sifkot Nun, to two lines into Sifkot Nun. Hey, v'yesh oim da'afilu im menuba mahar b'maris ksheirois. Even if it's dotted, spotty, dotted for maris ksheirois, gam ken al kol ponim enu bechlal hodo v'posul. It's also included in a psul. It's considered it's lacking in hodo and it's posul. V'atam bechol zeh mishum da'en hodo. It's not considered hodo and it's a psul. So we've got to be a chumra that one black dot in the top part of the esek is a psul, black. Three black ones in the bottom is also a problem, is a psul. That's because it's a mare psul. Mare kosher, you need it to be completely covered up with mare kosher in order to be psul. I must say, black dots, I will remember an incident when I was doing shemush on Dalet Minim, by Rav Zev Feldman, who has got a huge amount of public going to ask him Shailas and Dalet Minim. Huge. I mean, they literally queue up in Stanford. They literally queue up onto the street to show him the Esrei. And I remember that I was sitting next to him. I was zochet for a few years to be doing Shemush by him. And I remember that at one point, he showed me, he says, he called me over and said, look at this. This is a black dot. He found a black dot. Because anything else, it's very rare to actually see genuinely a black dot. Black, because normally when you look carefully, it's not black. It's normally it's brown, sometimes it's green, often it's red, but it's not. It's rare to have a proper black dot when you look at it very, very carefully. So he said that he actually showed a black dot. It's very rare to actually find a proper black dot. So when we talk about Marois, Psulois, and Ksheiros and Esrei, we have to remember that only a black dot mamash will pass it if it's in the top. Because that's considered a Mare Psul. The Gemara discusses what is considered a Mare Psul and what is a Mare Kosher. A Mare Psul, a black dot, is considered Menuma. Really, that's a complete discoloration of the Esrei, and it's a Mare Psul, and that will invalidate the Esrei. Continues the Mechabon Sif Tezayin. Sif Tezayin. If the esrog is completely black or completely white, b'marken echad poistel berubay. In one place, if it's roif, it's not completely. If it's most of the esrog is completely white, most of the esrog is completely black. Then b'shnayim or b'shloishem mekoyim is dinuki chazos leposel aflu b'miutoy. He says if it's in two or three places, you've got a significant area of two or three places, which is black or white, that will pass the esek. As opposed to this, is in stark contrast to Sif Yud Zayin, which says the following. You've got a place, the entire place, that village, that area, that region, has got blackish esroigim. Imagine that whole area which got blackish esroigim. That's the looks of the esroigim in that particular area. So mokim shay esroigim shalim ken shchoyres meat, all slightly black. Kherim, those are kosher because that is a regular color of the esroigim in that particular place. It's kosher. Vema yishchoyrim biyoyse kadam kushi. But if it's completely black, I think I have to switch it off now for a moment. If it's completely black, kadam. cushy like a man, which is cushy, then how is a puzzle? Then this esrog will be puzzle. B'chol mokim anywhere. So if the esrog is slightly black, and that's the whole area of the esrog like that, it's kosher, it's fine. But if the whole area is completely black esrogim, although the whole area grows such esrogim, it's going to be puzzle because that's a lack in hot and it's a problem. See, if you tres ha'ogel kekadur puzzle, if the esrog is round like a ball puzzle, that, do you think, Abayi said, does that mean the esrogim that sometimes have no bumps? The ones that have no bumps and are very round, on top you've got the pitum okets, but it's very round, without any bumps. Is that a problem of this seif? Is this kakadur? Is that a problem? Should you try to avoid an esrog, which has, what do you think? Do you know which esrog I'm talking about? You know, very round ones, very round, and on top you've got the... I don't sell them, that's true. Yeah, you never seen. Okay. Yeah, ever since, you know which esrog I'm talking about?
We try to get the chesed quite low so to kind of minimize the...
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so the emphasis is, you sometimes see those esrogim, it's not what he means. Because he's referring to the esrog, the hamamish, that even the pitam is very, very... if the esrog goes like this, and then on top it goes up a little bit, and the pitam does go up, then it's not kikado, it's not like a ball. We're talking about, I want you completely like this, and you just have got pitam in like a little bit, which not going out, not growing up. No, then it's not, it's, the problem is only if it's mamash completely round. If you've got the pitam going up, that wouldn't be considered kikado. I'm not saying it's a beautiful esrog, but it's not psul of kado. Gidloy betfus. Now, I don't know if anybody has ever tried that. You can grow an esrog, and then whilst it's still tiny, you put a bottle around it, or a shape. You put a shape around whilst it's still growing. And you put the esrog, when it's still small, you put a bottle, imagine a glass bottle, it could be any shape really, you put around it, and you let it grow and grow and grow. What's going to happen eventually? It's going to grow in that shape. Imagine that, if you want to market a new way of marketing, and so you give Coca-Cola shape. You know, but you put an esrog in Coca-Cola shape. He said, just do it. Yeah, how about that?
They do it in Japan.
Watermelon.
Square
watermelon in Japan because
storage.
The fridge are so small.
Oh.
So they fit in.
That's definitely, if somebody wants to market a soygim, it's definitely something we could do.
Square
soygim, yeah, that's with, yeah. So what would be the aloha if you do that? If you should make it the shape, it can't be so difficult. I just don't know how you get it out of it then. You'd have to find out a way of you smash the bottle, yeah. You have to come without pitum then, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so it says that says the Shulchan Aruch, Gidlo betfus, v'osokim in birya acheres posel. If you make it into a different shape, yeah, you make it into a shoe shape or a square shape, it's posel. V'osokim in briyosoy, but if you make it into a shape that looks like an esrog still, ke briyosoy, it has still the shape of an esrog, afal pisho so. Dapin kosher. Even if it's not mamash like an esrog, instead of having the bumps, you want to make it a bit more yakish, a bit more rigid, you make lines. Dapin. So it makes like indentations all around the whole esrog. That, it's still sort of a shape of an esrog. Sort of, which is much more, it's not natural, but it's still sort of the shape of esrog. That is considered kosher. However, if you make it any other extreme shape, that would be absurd. Esrog atyoim, I've seen that. Esrog atyoim, the anish gadol shneim dvukim zeh bazeh kosher. An esrog which has two esrogim growing together. Well, atyoim means twins. If two esrogim grow together, it's kosher. Have you ever seen it? I've seen two esrogim twins esrogim. If they grow like that, it's actually, that itself is not a psul. And it's a kosher esrog. Hayorek shedoyim le'esv ha'asod eposel. That's very relevant as well. With regards to the color of the esrog. What color esrog would you like to choose? It's always green, yellow. Many people have got their own opinions. Shulchan Aruch teaches us as follows. Hayorek shedoyim le'esv ha'asod. Esv ha'asod is very, very, very green. Very, very green esrog. Shedoyim le'esv ha'asod, like grass. Posul. Elohim kein choyze le'mar esrog. Koshek shemashinoisoi is that if it's extremely green, bright green, it's possible, unless it's an esrog that will grow into a lighter color eventually. So if it will grow in that lighter color, it's going to be kosher now as well. Generally, an esrog which is green generally shows that it's still It has been picked recently, and it's a healthy esek, and it's still looking good. Yellow, the more yellow you, means very mature esek, and often, not always, but often with a yellow esek, you're going to run into trouble by cholamoid. It depends how you hold it, depends how you treat it, depends how careful, but often in yellow, very bright yellow esek is often going to go, is going to go a little bit brownish. You like bright yellow, and they keep strong, you must be very careful. How do you keep your esek, if I may ask? And he must be really looking after it. Bright esek. Right. Often if people holding a yellow esogim, people holding a soygim, often, you know, it gets brown patches. Do you know what I'm referring to? Never seen brown patches? So you must be very, very careful. Yeah? Yeah, they go brown patches. So the M... Right. So... Oh, yeah. So we'll talk about this still, Emet Hashem, because it's not so posh, it's a problem at all. But assuming it is a problem, you wouldn't get these problems. Do you know what I'm talking about, the brown patches? So they wouldn't know... By green is soaking, you're not likely to run in. You're not going to get those. They're not going to be visible. So that's why some people prefer slightly green is soaking. Yeah, you could. Now you could do that. You could color. You could. There's various ways of making the soybean change color. You could do that. I personally don't advise people to do that, because if you don't have full expertise, you could easily spoil an esek that way. You could easily spoil it. So better not to do it unless you really know how to do it. The Mishnah Berurah says why green is a problem in Sifkot and Samach Dalet. It says it's recognizable. It's not fully grown, and that's the problem. So if the Mishnah Berurah says if it's not that green, it's going to be kosher. The Mistam and Nigmar Peir, because it's fully grown already, that's going to be okay. So there's nothing really intrinsically about the green color. It's just that you're feeling it's not fully grown yet. Sif Chov Beis Shir Esr Cotton. The size of a small esek, pochus mi kebetza, less than a kebetza posul, aval imu kebetza, if it's the size of a beta of an egg, afilu boisa, even if it's not ripe yet, chadai loy nigma pirioi kosher, even if it's not fully grown, it's kosher, imu yugodl kolshu kosher, if it's slightly bigger, it's okay. We have to keep in mind, nowadays we weigh the esrogim to make sure that they have got the full size. You have to keep in mind that many esrogim, sometimes they're pumped a little bit before, they're pumped with water before. Often esrogim are pumped with water before. Some esrogim were pumped. There's nothing really wrong with it, kashas wise. They're pumped with water to make them a bit more juicy. And often what happens, they lose their liquid quite quickly. Therefore, you'll notice that some esrogim, they lose a bit of their size over Yom Tov. And the reason why I'm saying that, it's not psul at all. The only thing is that you'll notice that some esrogim go small over Yom Tov. And you have to just make sure that it's got still the size by the end of Yom Tov as well. You just have to make sure. You have to wait. If you feel that it's not going, you have to make sure that it's enough, that the size remains. Yeah. Correct. There's a machlokes as to whether a nice big esek is a hidu or not. Is it a hidu to have a nice big esek rather than a small esek? Some say, do you think it's nice to have a nice big esek? Temanim, yeah, that's right. Temanim are very nice. Is that a hidu or is it just as good? So. Some people say there's a slight hidu to have a nice big esek. It's based on a Morgan Avon. Okay. Simon Tov Resh Mem Tes. We're going to be going now to halachas which pass not just the esek specifically, but all the dalet minim. Kol arba minim psulim begozlo veganuf. Don't steal an esek. Don't use a stolen esek. I thought you like it. Don't use a stolen esek. Lebein lifnei yush ben leachay yush. Whether the person has given up on it already, there was yush, there was no yush. Either way, you must use a stolen esek. Aval gozel v'kanoi b'loisiu ha-mitzvah. If a person did steal it, he made a kinyan on it, without consideration of the actual mitzvah, could go and gozel lulav v'shipo, such as he stole a lulav v'shipo and he improved it in one way or another. Kosher, it's kosher. He made a kinyon in it, he changed it, so then he would be kosher. Of course, he has to pay him back what he's stolen, for sure. For sure he has to pay back what he has stolen. But the fact that he uses esrog or lulav that was stolen, once he has changed something onto that, he can't make a broch on it. He has to pay back what he's stolen. It's wrong. Of course, the stealing is wrong. Of course, the stealing was wrong. Question is, can he use it? Yeah. So, kosh the kanye b'shinu imaisa, he changed b'shinu imaisa, significantly, he has changed significantly the lulav. However, you cannot make a bracha. There's a rule that anything that smells or has slight connection to stolen good, don't make a bracha on it. Never make a bracha on something which was once stolen. How can you thank and praise the Rebbeinu Shem something which has a history of theft? He says that the stolen lulav and the stolen esrog is only a problem for the ganav himself. If the ganav after sold it on to someone else, can he make a brach on it? Can he use it? So this opinion says that yes, the second, a third, a next generation, a next person, he could actually use it, and he could actually use it. Any other person can use a stolen dami. He didn't steal it; it was given on to another person. He could use it on the later days. Chutz mi amrishin, excluding the first day. Therefore, yesh leizo, one should be very careful. So he can't say Yisrael be'atzmoy. We learned this halacha previously. Don't cut yourself. Don't cut yourself your lulav. Don't go to a garden and start cutting the lulav in a soigim. The karkon in igzeles, because could be the ground doesn't, the field doesn't belong to the person who is pretends that it is. And v'stam akum goy lekarkon, the person, the goy who is saying, you know, take my esek, shug, could be that it's not even his. Could be that he stole once the ground and the field. Therefore, if you were to take an esek of a field of a goy, even it could be that it's not his. It could be the guy doesn't, and therefore you wouldn't be a yotz the mitzvah. The guy goes the karka v'yavoy begzeli yotin. The esek would have come into his hand begzela. Elo yikatzenu akum. The guy should cut it v'iknem him. He should get it from the guy. Then the guy will have done the shinui ma'aser, and therefore it would be okay because he's done the gezel, and you'd be just taking it after the yush after the shinui. Therefore, it would be okay. Ve'in chilik b'zeh ben eretz yisrael lechutz la'aretz. No difference between eretz yisrael and chutz la'aretz. And finally, lulav she'ogdoi akum was so kosher kamin sukas akum. If a goy did the eged, we'll talk about hilchas eged at another stage. But a goy who made the eged, he bound the esek, that is okay, and you can use and shake a lulav which was bound by a goy.